to see you all. And I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to deal for a little bit this morning, speak to you for a little while on the subject. One sacrifice for sin. One sacrifice for sin. And you know that one sacrifice for sin is that of our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. By his one sacrifice for sin, he did what Daniel said that he would do. He made an end of our transgressions. He put away our sins, and he brought in everlasting righteousness. He satisfied the demands of God's justice. In this matter of salvation, I know the religious world loves to talk about the love of God and the grace of God. Well, I love to talk about the love of God and the grace of God. But we know God's not going to show his love or his grace and compromise his justice or his law. He's not going to do that. Not going to show mercy at the expense of justice, will he? He can't do that and remain God. He'll never do that. So in order to save his people from his sins, he had to lay down his life, a sacrifice for sin. He, bless his name, he came into this world. God sent his son on a mission of mercy, on an errand, gave him a work to do. The Savior is born into this world, born of a virgin, lived a life of perfection under the law. And that life of perfection under the law showed he is qualified to be the sacrifice of sin. You remember when God gave the Passover lamb, he told the Israelites, told Moses to tell the Israelites, said, now you take your lamb, a male, firstling of the flock, and put him up 4 days. Inspection. Look him over. Make sure there's nothing wrong with him. He's got to be without spot. He's got to be without blemish. Can't be anything wrong with him. 4 days. Look him over good. Our Lord Jesus came into this world. For about 33 years, he was looked over real closely. Right? He's made under the law. He lived under parental law. Civil law. God's law. And he was thoroughly examined. Any blemish, any defilement, disqualify him from being sacrificed. That old Pilate, he kind of spoke for everybody right there before our Lord died. He said, I find no fault in this man. Ah, he's qualified to be the sacrifice sin. This is the one who will bring in everlasting righteousness. This is the one who's the fit substitute for sinners. And he died under the wrath of God, bearing the sins of his people. Our indebtedness laid on him. Really, he became responsible for our indebtedness before the world ever began, didn't he? That's exactly right. He stood as our surety in the covenant of grace. And God gave his people unto his son, said, you save them. You save them. You bring them home righteous in your righteousness. This is your responsibility. Our Savior accepted full responsibility for the salvation of his people. And right then and there, he became responsible to God for my sins, to do something about them. And 2,000 years ago, he done something. All the indebtedness of God's people laid upon him. He bore responsibility to God Almighty for our sinfulness. And he paid the debt. And you know how I know he paid the debt? You know how I know that that one sacrifice for sin satisfied God and brought in righteousness and put our sins away and God doesn't remember them anymore? You know how I know? God exalted him. And there's several stages of his exaltation, his resurrection. At resurrection, that empty tomb says, the work is done to God's satisfaction. The resurrection says, sin has been put an end to. It's over. Didn't the Savior say on the cross, it is finished? Well, that's true. It's finished. It's completed. The work of redemption, all God Almighty demanded for the salvation of His elect, has been accomplished, finished, by the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's finished. It's finished. My debt's paid. And I know that because He's been raised. Raised again because of our justification. And then He ascended back to heaven. Oh, Psalm 24. Lift up the gates. The Lord of glory's coming back. Victorious. Huh? The conqueror, right? The conqueror. Not somebody who tried to do something or other, but the one who saved His people from their sins. His name is Jesus. What does that mean? He shall save His people from their sins. Did He do it? He did it. He ascended back to heaven and sat down. And now He's run the whole shooting match. The Son of Man is. As God, He was entitled, and indeed He did govern all things because He's God. Now He reigns and governs all things as the mediator, as the Son of Man. And He earned that. He earned that right by finishing the work of redemption that the Father gave Him to do. He's the only sacrifice that could put away sin. The only sacrifice. Look here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. And I'll say this first. No animal sacrifice could put away sin. And we know that. No animal sacrifice could put away sin. Look at Hebrews. How long I got? All right. I'll unbutton my collar then. Okay. Look at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. All those typologies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they were foretelling someone glorious is coming. One who would do the work of redemption. But they had no substance. See, a shadow doesn't have any substance. Shadow doesn't have any reality to it. They were just shadows. So He says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. It's no telling how many thousands upon thousands of animals died in the Old Testament. Starting right there starting it in the Garden of Eden. Right? That's where death first took place. When our fallen parents defied God. Adam, the federal head of all of us. He rebelled against God and we fell in him. Cut off from God, estranged from God. For by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned, that is all sinned in Adam. We're cut off from God. Nothing happened when Eve sinned. She didn't represent anybody. But something happened when Adam sinned. But I'll tell you, Adam's sin didn't take God off guard, though, did it? You remember the Lord had said, He didn't say if you eat, He said when you eat. Look back at Genesis chapter 2. You ever notice this? Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And you know this well, but the Word of God bears reading again and again, even though we may be able to quote it. Look at Genesis 2, 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." For in the day that thou eatest thereof. He didn't say, now, if you eat of it. He said, in the day you eat of it. In the day. If this didn't catch God off guard, this didn't surprise God. This is going to work into God's purpose of redemption. You see, a Savior has already been appointed before the world began. He's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And you see, God makes all of creation. And upon the stage of creation, He will bring to pass that which is His greatest glory. The salvation of a multitude of sinners through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherein His righteousness is imputed to us, and our sinfulness imputed or charged to Him. And it's on this great stage of planet Earth that God brought redemption to pass. And He's saving His people. Well, this man sinned. And we all fell. Like it or lump it. It don't matter. It don't matter what you think about it as far as the factuality of it's concerned. It's a fact. We fell by representation. We didn't fall like the angels fell, one by one. We fell by representation. Good news. Good news. As we fell by representation, we're saved by representation. Another representative man, Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, Adam sinned. He fell. And he went running from God. Man's been running from God ever since. Right? And he heard the voice. Adam and Eve heard the voice of God calling in the cool of the day. Not in the heat of the day as in wrath, but in the cool of the day as in mercy. Adam, where art thou? And God never asks a question for information. Does he? God never asks a question for information. This is to bring to Adam's conscience and awareness his state of being. What kind of mess you in now? And Adam did what every son and daughter of Adam has been doing ever since, running from God. He ran from God and he tried to cover his own shame by making an apron of fig leaves. And that is salvation by works. Man's been doing that ever since. That just comes naturally, doesn't it? It comes naturally. We're born knowing how to sew a fig leaf apron. You don't have to teach anybody how to sew a fig leaf apron, do you? You don't have to teach anybody salvation by works. You don't have to teach anybody salvation conditioned upon your willingness. Or your deeds, or your law keeping, or your baptism. You don't have to teach that. We know that. We're readily acceptive of that message, aren't we? And the Lord dealt with the fallen pair in great mercy. And He spoke to them. And I'll tell you this, the one who spoke to them, I fully believe was the Son of God. And I'll tell you why. God Almighty will not speak to, nor be spoken to, by any son or daughter of Adam except through a mediator. And that's the truth. God Almighty will not speak to, He won't speak to you, and you're not going to speak to Him except through a mediator, Jesus Christ the Lord. And the Son of God spoke. He announced his own coming. He identified himself, the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman's coming. Oh, he's going to be wounded. His heel will be wounded. That's his substitutionary death. But the head of the serpent's going to be crushed. And then he illustrated what he was going to do when he came. He took a couple of animals that were altogether innocent of any crimes against God Almighty. And he killed them. And thus there is set, a vital principle is established right there in Genesis chapter 3. And it goes all the way through the Bible. And it's just this. If the guilty are to go free, a suitable, innocent substitute must die instead. And my friends, as we all know, that theme runs all the way through the Scripture. And he killed them animals. The Son of God shed the first blood in this world. And that blood that was shed was typical of his own blood that he would shed in time for the remission of sins. And then he stripped those old fig leaf garments off our parents. And I've thought about it, and I bet you all have too. How must they have felt then? Scared, nervous, shaken before the Lord? And then in loving kindness, he covers their nakedness. He covers their shame. His righteousness. Don't see their shame anymore. Let me tell you something. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, we're made the righteousness of God in him. You listen to this scripture again. For he, God, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. The old timers used to say to be the sin bearer. That one who knew no sin, and he never did know any sin. Ever. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. That's not the end of the sentence. In him. In him. All my crimes charged to him, imputed to him. His righteousness established in his death. My soul, how wonderful this is. The very righteousness of God Almighty. It's imputed to me. I don't have any sin. My sin's gone. Right? Aren't our sins gone? When God Almighty looks at us, he sees his Son. He sees Christ. There's no one can charge us before God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's all charged to Christ. Our debt's paid. We find out about it in regeneration. Right? That's when we find out about it. And we're made gloriously happy. If I owed a big debt, And one of you went to the bank. Say, how much does, look up the account of James Ferguson Bird. Boy, he's got a lot of indebtedness. Yeah, well, put that all on my account. And here, I'm going to pay. I'm going to cancel that. And here's a $1 million. put that on his account. That's a done deal. And I don't even know about it. Does the fact that I don't know about it, does that have any bearing on the deal, so to speak? Huh? That don't have any bearing on it. Let me tell you something. On the cross, he sealed my pardon. Paid the debt. Made me free. I didn't know about it. But that don't mean the debt wasn't paid. Now, a lot of people think, you know, when we believe, that's when the debt's paid. Faith don't pay a debt. Faith believes the Son of God who paid the debt. Amen. And the Spirit of God comes to us in regeneration, in the new birth. He gives us life. And he makes us to see, makes us to realize who God is and his holy requirements. And what we are in our filth. And I know we can't wrap our minds around God. The Spirit of God doesn't give us total knowledge of God. But we learn something about God's righteous demands, don't we? About how God hates sin. About how God can only pardon the guilty through a suitable sacrifice. And the Spirit of God teaches us something about ourselves, Randy, right? Gotta learn something about ourselves. About ourselves and against, and about the one we've sinned against. You see, today in evangelism, it's just, you know, present 1, 2, 3, ABC. It's nothing to it. That fellow told me one time, he said, getting saved is easy as falling off a log. Well, hang on a minute. We're not talking about falling off a log here. We're talking about the Spirit of the living God doing something to us, giving us life, revealing somebody to our souls, to our hearts, getting a heart sight of the Son of God in his glory. In regeneration, we're brought to see the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he did for sinners, and why he had to do it, why he alone had to do it, and that it was done. And then we're made to rejoice in him, to look to him, to believe him, to hug up to him, to lean on him. But that doesn't have anything to do with putting our sins away. We hug up to him saying, thank you for putting them away. And we worship him, don't we? We love him. Those animals, animal sacrifices, they couldn't put sin away. But they pictured the one who would do it. They pictured the one who would do it. So over here in Hebrews 10, he tells us they couldn't put sin away. They had to be continually offered. Look back in Hebrews 10. He says in verse 2, for would they not have ceased to be offered? Well, surely they would have been ceased to have been offered, because the worshipers, if they had been once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again. This is just every time another animal died on a Jewish altar, it was a reminder the sins are still there. Right? It's a reminder. The transaction hadn't taken place yet. Verse 4, and here he states clearly, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should put away sin. They were never intended to. The law was never intended to be a means of salvation, for goodness sakes. I grew up in a free will fundamental Baptist church, and if you didn't have a Scofield Reference Bible, my pastor used to say, y'all sell your boots and buy you one. I mean, that was, and I'm not, if you got a Scofield Reference Bible, read the Word of God, but ignore a lot of the notes, okay? King James, when He commissioned those fellows to translate the scriptures. He said, no human notes on the same page as sacred scripture. That Scofield notes defies that. But that's another subject for another day. But what I was going to say was in Scofield's notes in John chapter 1, he's got the folks in the Old Testament saved by keeping the law. And the people in the New Testament, now we're saved by grace. I got news for you. Those who are saved anytime, any place, any age, saved the same way. By the grace of God through the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? I don't care what you're talking about, Abraham or Jim Casey. I don't care what you're talking about, Noah or Randy Wages. It don't matter who you're talking about. With those who are saved, saved the same way. Right? There's not a separate scheme for those fellows back there and then a different one from us. Oh, no. They're justified by the righteous obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we are. Just like we are. Christ Jesus, I was telling Jim last night, I think it was, that story in Philemon when, you know, Onesimus had stolen some money. And so Paul writes to Philemon. He says, now, if he owes you aught, you put that on my account. Do you know how the Old Testament saints were saved and justified before God? All their indebtedness put on somebody else's account. He said, I'll pay. Here's my righteousness. I'll pay. I'm good for it. God the Father knew he's good for it, didn't he? He's good for it. Christ came and paid their debt. He justified. He sanctifies. He cleanses. He purges by grace through the merits of his own blood. Blood redemption. His sacrifice. We're saved the same way they're saved. We're not saved. They weren't saved by law and us saved by grace. All saved by grace. For by grace we're saved through faith. And faith's not even a condition. That's a gift of God. We've got to be clear on this. Our salvation is conditioned upon one person and his obedience unto God. Isn't that right? And my friend, there's no wiggle room out of this now. This is a narrow way. This is the only way it is. You say, but my brother don't believe exactly like this. Well, we're going to pray for your brother because he needs to learn the gospel. Isn't that, we don't want to compromise. We're not going to make allowances for other folks, are we? We're not going to make allowances for error. Even though we love people and we appreciate them as far as our earthly relations. But if God the Spirit hasn't given them an understanding of God's free gospel of grace, then they're lost. They need Christ. They need the grace of God. The fact of the matter is, the reason we have some understanding of how a just God can save sinners this morning is because of the Spirit of God's work to us and in us, showing us, teaching us, instructing us. It's not because we're smarter. It's not because we're more intelligent. It's because God in His sovereignty singled us out. And He taught us. Isn't that right? What do you have that you didn't receive? That's what Paul asks there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Huh? What do you have that you didn't receive? Why are you different from somebody else? Here's your neighbor wrapped up in free will works religion. And they're fine people. I know a lot of fine people who believe in salvation by works. I mean, good neighbors, good in the community. And I'm talking about good the way we use the word good. I understand there's none good before God, but you know what I'm talking about. Neighborly folks contribute to society, but they don't know God. And we don't make allowances for them. As a pastor, every once in a while there's some heartbreaking things happen. I stand with a lady in our congregation. I'd preached the gospel for 10 years. And her aunt died. And we're there in the funeral home, you know, at the casket, and I got my arm around her trying to console her, and she says, "Well, I'll tell you this, Pastor." She said, "That's one woman I know's in heaven because she's the best woman I ever knew." That's like a dagger in my heart. That's not how folks wind up in glory. They wind up in glory because Jesus Christ paid their debt. Right? Because they're redeemed by blood. Oh, my. Folks got to be taught, don't they? Eyes got to be opened. That's our problem by nature, is we're deaf to the message of the gospel. And you know, it's really... please don't misunderstand me. The gospel is, we're talking about the infinite wisdom of God here. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. How God can be a just God and a Savior. But as to the declaration of the gospel, it's a simple message. Really, isn't it? God accepts me on account of somebody else. That's not too complicated, is it? God saves sinners based upon the righteous obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience unto death. Even the death of the cross. You mean I make no contribution, preacher? The only contribution that you make in salvation is the sin part. The sin, that's your only contribution. You mean he does the rest? You mean he fully satisfied the demands of a holy God for me? Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. That's good. That's why the gospel's good news, right? It's glad tidings of great joy. The message isn't sinner do. Man, some of these churches, you got to sign a covenant and sign all these things and what you gonna do. The message is not do, the message is done. It's done. Job well done. You know how I know it's done? You read further down here in Hebrews chapter 10, our Lord Jesus Christ went back to glory and sat down. He sat down. Job's well done. He's been exalted. I said the stages of his exaltation: resurrection, ascension, enthronement, coronation. And he rules in providence. He's the one set forth over there in Revelation chapter 5. John saw that book sealed with seven seals. And in that book sealed with seven seals, that's the decrees of God Almighty. That's God's decree of predestination of everything, the fates of men and angels and everything's in that book sealed with seven seals, and it's sealed. And John said, "I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." But oh, the voice said, "Don't weep, John. There's one who's worthy to open it. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And he took the book of God's decrees, and he's opening the seals. You know what he's doing today? The exalted Son of God, he's bringing to pass God's decree of predestination. That's what providence is. Providence is God bringing to pass, the Son of God bringing to pass in time what he purposed to do in eternity. And every single thing that happens in this whole wide world, God Almighty purposed it. He's the first cause of everything. You say, "Explain that to me, preacher." Well, I'll tell you, I'm not in the splaining business. I'm in the proclaiming business. There's a whole lot that I proclaim that I can't explain. And I believe a lot of times we kind of get ourselves in trouble when we try to explain. Let's just proclaim the gospel of God's free grace in Christ Jesus. He's executing the decrees of God, bringing everything to pass. And one of these days, this one who, whose blood put away our sin, this one who's been exalted on the basis of his sacrifice. One of these days, he's coming back. And every knee's going to bow to him. And every tongue's going to confess that he's the Lord to the glory of God the Father. There'll be universal homage paid to Jesus Christ the Lord. And somebody said, salvation is paying him homage now. Being brought by the Spirit of God to pay him homage now. So you're going to, we'll all go, everybody's going to honor him one day, right? Everybody's going to honor Jesus Christ. As far as we're concerned, it's whether it's in this life or the next life. Salvation, if it's salvation, it's in this life. We love his lordship. We love him because he first loved us. We worship him. That one who's the one sacrifice for sin. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ain't that wonderful? Just absolute glorious news. Well, that's the good news I wanted to share with you this morning. I hope I didn't go over too long. You're dismissed.